Amazon is a behemoth. So much so that sales on Amazon accounted for a staggering 68% of all e-commerce sales in 2018. With access to an audience that large, it's no wonder that so many brands are selling their products through Amazon, despite the challenges. Today, we're digging into the rules, risks, strategies, and massive opportunities of selling through Amazon. I'm your host, Kara Hogan, and this is The Empowered Marketer. The Empowered Marketer is brought to you by Zayus, the B2C CRM powered by data science. Want to know your customer's likelihood to purchase in the next week? Go to Zayus.com to find out how. A large portion of Amazon's massive sales go through third-party sellers that are fulfilled by Amazon, or FBA sellers. This is exactly the market that Brandon Hendricks focuses on. He's the VP of Marketing at Thrass.io, a fast-growing acquirer of Amazon FBA businesses. Brandon has worked in e-commerce for nearly a decade, including at Autotegrity, which sold to ADP, and as the head of acquisition at LovePop, the popular maker of pop-up carts. While he previously specialized in paid acquisition, he recently switched his focus to the wild world of Amazon.
It's a pretty cool opportunity where we're essentially, we identified this cool market of third-party Amazon sellers, and we ended up buying a couple of them, which is pretty interesting. And we've acquired a couple more since and plan to acquire a couple more. And it's really these people who've built really awesome brands on Amazon. So focus on great products, great reviews, building a really cool brand. And on the Amazon ecosystem is just really cool. So it's a space that I've always wanted to get into. So we're going to continue on that path and keep buying more and more Amazon third-party sellers if we can.
Yeah, the whole world of third-party sellers on Amazon is interesting. So why did you single that out as an opportunity for growth?
So I think on the Amazon space right now, 50% or so is Amazon third-party sellers. And I think that's gonna keep increasing, especially since Amazon makes a lot of money on the third-party sellers. So it's a cool space. I think more and more direct-to-consumer brands are going to get into Amazon. And it's really hard to avoid. Most people just go to Amazon to start searching. That's where most, I think it's like 50, 60% of all product searches start on Amazon now. So you really have to know that space well and know how to take advantage of it, know what not to do. So I think it's one of the, if not the current future, it's going to be the future of e-commerce. So getting to learn it as fast as possible is something I've always wanted to do.
Yeah. What do you think about selling on Amazon is so challenging? It seems like there's lots of ins and outs and different regulations and rules to follow. What do you think is the number one mistake a lot of people make when trying to sell on Amazon?
Yeah, Amazon's tough. 3 to 5 years ago, you could have started almost anything on Amazon and done amazing, really killed it and done a great job. Now it's really tough. Just like you said, there's Amazon terms and conditions that you don't know. They're always changing. And there's a lot of competition. So if you're not sourcing great products, you're going to get hit with customer complaints and reviews. If you're not getting enough reviews, you're never going to get served because of just the pure competition. If people have thousands of reviews, you're never going to be able to catch up to someone like that. And it's not going to be worth it for you from a sales and shipping and margin perspective. But Amazon does make it easy. You know, the conversion rates are great. They take care of shipping if you do Amazon FBA. It's just you do need to know kind of what you're doing and how to get that initial like jumpstart when it comes to Amazon. Otherwise, you're just going to kind of pitter in this 1 to 2 sales a day, and it's not going to be worth it for you in the long run. But there's some report that just came out. There's, I forget the number, might be like 4,000 new sellers joining Amazon per day. Wow. Or something. So who knows how many of those are going to work, but there's a lot of people trying to get onto the platform. And it's, you know, all the other countries are starting to get Amazon, and the US, you know, we kind of take it for granted that everyone uses Amazon, but it's still not even prevalent in a lot of other countries.
So you kind of alluded to the fact that it's hard to get found on Amazon. So there's a new concept of like actually marketing products within Amazon. How do you do that? How do you actually optimize for visibility so people see your products?
Amazon is very different than traditional, you know, a Shopify web store, for example, where you can place pixels, you can do Facebook traffic, you can, you know, track everything from click to conversion and really optimize and scale it up. Your visibility into Amazon is pretty limited, and you can't place pixels. If you send Facebook traffic, you're not going to be able to see if someone purchased something. So it does make it pretty challenging. A couple of things you can do. So Amazon has Amazon PPC. So that's really probably the number one source of traffic for most people on Amazon. And it's very similar to Google paid search. It's nearly identical in many different ways. So you're bidding on keywords that people would search in the Amazon ecosystem. You know, you're setting up your brand terms and your research terms, and you're harvesting different keywords. And if you get a lot of traction on PPC, it's a good way to get a boost. And the performance is actually pretty good most of the time. So if you have healthy margins, you can normally be break even or profitable on PPC. And then there's a lot of other companies that specialize in product launch on Amazon. So you can go to them, they have email databases, and they can help you launch your product, which is pretty cool. You might have to give it away for 90 or 100% off, but you can, you know, get a good boost and good reviews, and it's all about getting the traction. So the more reviews you get, the more you can spend on PPC, the more you can invest to start rising in the ranks, the better. Yeah, I mean, right now I'm trying to experiment a lot with the Facebook ads, other different types of marketing like SMS and Messenger and stuff like that to try to communicate with customers and different ways to track it when it goes from off Amazon to on Amazon. But it's definitely challenging. Learning the PPC is pretty crucial. And there's a lot of new tools out there which are pretty cool that helps automate PPC. But it's a very different ecosystem than traditional, you know, Shopify.
Yeah, I was reading an article actually about the challenge of people selling and buying fake reviews on Amazon to bump their listings up and all of this like gaming of the system that's happening because, you know, being the number one listing versus the number two listing can be a huge gap in revenue.
It's massive.
How is Amazon dealing with that? Do you feel like they're cracking down more on reviews right now?
They definitely are. So there's tons of, you know, black hat, gray hat, white hat type initiatives that people do on Amazon. And you do need to be very cognizant of it. So Amazon does do something called review scraping. So they'll periodically go through and they can tell if reviews are happening within certain IPs, in certain timeframes, with certain credit cards related to certain business owners. So if you launch a product and you say, oh, I'm just going to send it to my wife and my kids and my aunt and uncle and have them do reviews, chances are that's going to get found out and those reviews will get taken away. So, you know, you may amass a couple thousand reviews, and if Amazon finds out that half of those were fake, those will be gone. So review scraping is something that Amazon does. There was also a data leak that just happened that was in the news. So a couple of the Amazon, you know, insiders were selling people information of how to get around loopholes and the algorithm and how to boost rank. Because you could try to change people's categories, so you were in a, you know, a lower competition category. So all of a sudden, you become a bestseller there. So there's all these different loopholes. There's all the different giveaways you could do to try to garnish fake reviews, and there's a lot of little things that people try to get away with. People try to take over your account so they can sabotage it. A lot of times, it's just the Amazon robot just going through the system, and if there's just little things that you don't know, such as if you have something in the first tile of Amazon that is actually not sold with your product. So even if it's a hand, you know, holding a product, the hand does not come with the product. So it's just like little things that you don't even think about that can get your account shut down for a week. And if it's shut down for a week, that might be enough time for a competitor to all of a sudden retake your number one spot. So it's a pretty interesting space. And, you know, moving from the bottom of page one to the top of page one could be the difference of hundreds of thousands of dollars. So you have to constantly be paying attention.
It's nuts. It sounds very cutthroat, and there's a reason I'm not selling on Amazon personally, but I'd love to talk a little bit about your tech stack and what different things you're using right now to effectively market products. And what does your tech stack look like?
We are all over the place right now. We're new, so we're trying to experiment with as many different platforms as possible. So first, just looking at what does our data look like, which is probably one of the most important things on any any company is just having good, clean data. So we're looking at a lot of data automation platforms, one just from like aggregating the data. So let's try to find something that can hold it, like some sort of SQL-esque, but much more powerful tool. And then different, you know, things like a Periscope or Lookers and stuff to actually visualize it and make it useful for us. And there's a lot of tools that you can use that are Amazon specific, like Seller Legend is a tool that sort of aggregates all different types of data and makes it easy to use and look at. But then there's a lot of complexity when you talk about all the different marketplaces in different countries. So, you know, just because something's easy to use in the US, if you're selling in Mexico or Canada or the UK or India or France, or you have to think about different currency conversions and translations for all different things. So there's a lot of tools that can help you with that type of stuff as well. And on the marketing side, I'm quickly finding out there's hundreds of different marketing tools when it comes to Amazon. And as we're, you know, working with these small third-party sellers, they're all using different tools. So I'm learning what tools they're using, if it's something I want to bring into our company or if I want to consolidate. So, I mean, on the marketing side, there's the Takemetrics of the world, there's PressDesign, there's a PPC Scope, there's PPC Entourage, there's all these different automation tools, which are all really good. And so trying to figure out and experiment with as many different ones as possible. So once we actually do get to a faster pace, we're ready for that scale. Because if we don't have those tools built and in place, we're not gonna be ready. And we're also, like, on the email side, there's a lot of different stuff you can do on Amazon from emailing your customers to make sure you get good reviews, which is probably one of the most important things on Amazon. And you have to be careful not to solicit reviews either. So it's like another terms and conditions, you know, you can ask for reviews and you can say if you're not happy, you know, definitely contact us before you submit a bad review. But you can't say, oh, you know, submit a 5-star review and get 20% off, or submit a 5-star review and get this or get that, or send them direct mail to try to get them to do stuff. So you need to be pretty careful. And the emails are pretty important. So there's a lot of different email platforms that hook into Amazon that can do all of your product review stuff for you too, which is another, you know, tech we're trying to evaluate. So hopefully in the next quarter, we should be in a better place when it comes to having all of that worked out. But it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I wish I could check back in and say, what did you actually decide on? Because you are still in the like exploratory phase.
Yes.
Yeah. It's interesting definitely to be building a new company and getting to choose and like build your perfect combination of platforms. So that's a lot of work.
It is. Yeah. Trying to figure out what to build, what not to build. Right now, everything's just in a high-powered Google Sheets, which are going to crash eventually.
Yes.
So we'll have a more advanced tech stack within the next quarter or two.
So you mentioned talking about email related to Amazon. So you talked about email that hooks into Amazon, but do you have any thoughts around pushing your audience off of Amazon or like having more direct communications with them? What are you doing with that?
You know, I'm experimenting with a bunch of different off Amazon email platforms, trying to figure out how advanced we actually need to be. Because I'm sure, as you know, there's varying levels from the MailChimps to something that can fully automate all different types of abandoned carts and stuff like Azeus and those types of tools. So I think what we will eventually do is once we have a slightly larger email database and probably a couple more companies, then we can start cross-selling and upselling. And if we have new product launches that come out, we can tell our buyers, oh, you know, you bought this, but now look at this new thing that we just came out with. So I think it will become pretty important once we have enough companies to market to the people again. And we know it's an engaged audience. We know they shop on Amazon. We know what they like and don't like. So I think it'll be a pretty cool opportunity. And then even on, you know, direct mail side and other different ways to communicate with customers. So you do need to be careful because you technically don't own the customer when it comes to Amazon. So the communications, you do need to be a bit important, but you could use them to build lookalike audiences and go after, you know, those other different types of people. But you can communicate. You just need to always make sure it's a customer first type mentality when it comes to email and anything else, just because Amazon is very careful about their brand and making sure people trust it. So it is just a different relationship than having your own store where you're building this brand and, you know, people know this, but it is just a different sort of ecosystem.
Mm. Everything has to be approved by Amazon. So that's always challenging.
It's an Amazon world right now.
Yeah.
They have a lot of money and you don't want to make them mad. Yeah.
So besides being an expert on all things Amazon, you also spent a lot of time optimizing Facebook ads and other paid channels, especially when you were at LovePop. So what is your method for success when it comes to Facebook ads?
Good question. So I've done Facebook ads for probably 20, 30 different companies over the past couple of years, and it's I can talk at a super high level, sort of all the stuff that I've seen. But Facebook is getting more and more challenging in general. I think, rewind a couple of years ago, CPCs were really cheap. There wasn't, still tons of people on Facebook that knew how to do it. There wasn't tons of agencies sort of there yet. So it was somewhat the, Wild West, call it 4 years ago, where you could pretty much do anything and you could get conversions. And now things are definitely harder. So whenever I approach, any Facebook campaign or any customer that's on a direct response that has a Shopify store, any type of store, it's number one, just make sure you can track stuff, which is, it seems kind of basic, but there's so many companies out there that start running Facebook ads or PPC or anything else. And then I dig into their account and I can't tell what happened. I can't tell how many people purchased anything. I can't tell what their return on ad spend was. And it's because none of their tracking or their pixels were set up correctly. So before you do anything, just make sure, that is done and working correctly. And once you have the basics covered, it's trying to figure out, will my product sell on Facebook, first of all? So do you not have a strong enough margin to sell on Facebook? I normally say you need between at least a 60 or 50% or higher margin to kind of make Facebook work, just because it is pretty expensive. I need to get those clicks and you need to learn and train Facebook. So, make sure your margin is good first. If you have a no lifetime value product, that also makes it a bit harder to sell on Facebook. You can still definitely do it, depending on your margin and how, impulsive of a product you have, which does work really good on Facebook. But you sort of need to take those two things into consideration and then think through, in the Facebook marketplace, the people who tend to buy are, if I'm generalizing, slightly older women are really like a very good audience on Facebook. So, and they buy a lot of stuff on Facebook. So anyone who fits, either if it's for them or if they're buying those as gifts for someone else, it's also a pretty good audience. So first thing is, just focus on lookalike audiences. Those will tend to do the best to start, especially if you're brand new to Facebook. I talk to Facebook all the time and they just keep telling me that interest audiences just don't work anymore. When they first started, there wasn't as many data points on interest. So like you only had a couple interests and it was pretty specific. But now throughout the course of the couple years, like my interests might fit in hundreds of different interest pools. And it's just somewhat meaningless because I've been clicking on stuff and searching and I'm not actually interested. And those pools don't, at least I don't find them to work as well. So I tell people, try to avoid interest audiences to start. They're probably not going to work, especially for conversion campaigns. Start with lookalikes, start with your 1%, move up to your 2%. If you want to, you can add a couple layers on it. So sometimes you might want to add an income layer or some type of age layer or something like that. But at the end of the day, the best way to get Facebook to work is to get conversions. So just like any tool, if you're not getting any data points, you can't learn anything. So, and Facebook has this general rule where you need to get, and they keep changing the numbers depending on the week and who you talk to. But if you're not getting at least 25 to 75 conversions per week on any one ad set, Facebook really doesn't have enough data to optimize or to learn. So, if you're selling a product and you're only selling one thing a day, it's essentially just randomly flying throughout the Facebook ecosystem and people just happen to be buying. Whereas if you're getting 10, 15, 20 conversions a day, all of a sudden Facebook can build this whole pool. So if you imagine the whole Facebook ecosystem, it'll say, oh, there's a conversion here and here and here and here. And it starts bucketing and it starts learning all the you know, commonalities between these people. And that's when Facebook becomes really powerful, because then it actually knows who your audience is. And that's how you unlock scale. So, and then you can actually move to, once you look bigger, essentially no lookalike audiences. So it sounds kind of counterintuitive, but once you kind of reach this, you know, interest is just, you're out of it. Lookalikes are sort of getting maxed out and they're not working quite as well, but you are getting enough conversions. You can just build huge audiences. And once you have the budget and conversions, just let Facebook see if they can figure it out for you. So there's a lot of different strategies you can do, but at the end of the day, you need to be getting enough conversions to teach Facebook what to do. So if you're not getting enough purchases, you could try moving more up funnel too. So, you know, optimize on add to cart instead of purchase, or optimize on some sort of button or click on your page. And that way, at least you're feeding Facebook something. It's higher funnel, it may not be as important, but at least there's some data there that they're getting.
I feel like there's a reason that it's so challenging for many brands, is that there are so many moving pieces and so many things to measure and so many different options. But you mentioned a little bit that you're combining paid ads on Facebook as a driver of traffic to Amazon. How does that work? Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more challenging, because the first thing we don't have, which is the tracking and the pixels. So I've been trying to do different landing pages. So instead of driving right to Amazon, which actually can hurt your rank, because if you're driving from an external source right to Amazon, they essentially view it as, you know, what is your on-site conversion rate, which is the same thing you would look at on your store. It's the same thing Amazon looks at. So if you're driving bad traffic that's not converting, your conversion is going to go down, and Amazon thinks your product's not as good, and all of a sudden you start dropping in the ranks. So whenever you're sending traffic to Amazon, you should be very careful that you're not sending bad traffic, because it can destroy any type of rank that you have. So experiment with landing pages that people can hit and pre-qualify first before you send them to Amazon is something people try. There's different promotions you can run. It's like a Facebook promotion or a Facebook coupon. So at least people are claiming something and doing something. They're at least somewhat more pre-qualified before you send them to Amazon. And then I've been hearing a lot of, I haven't tried it yet, but like a messenger type stuff on Facebook. So anything you can do to try to pre-qualify someone first before sending them through Amazon is typically much better. And then from a PPC standpoint too, if your product sort of has this educational frame to it, you could try doing, you know, SEO type pages and doing some keyword stuffing and then doing some good stuff where you can actually get someone to an article, make sure it's a product they want, and then get them to Amazon. So I think this is one space where it's still pretty new. A lot of the sellers that started on Amazon, since PPC works so well, that's just kind of where they've stayed. So one thing I think is unique about what we'll be able to do, where other people that start getting into the Amazon space, is we have a lot of background from other advertising channels. So, you know, does Facebook work? Does PPC work? Does direct mail work? Does, you know, can we do television commercials or stuff around certain products and try to make it a, you know, a viral, you know, poopery or spotty potty type product and drive to Amazon? So I think that's where we're still learning a ton. So hopefully, you know, within the next couple of months, I'll have a lot more to share when it comes to how do you actually drive any type of the traffic, including Facebook, to Amazon and get that to work and track it.
Yeah. I'm very interested to hear how that goes. We're going to have to check back in with you later for sure.
I'll figure it out. It's going to be challenging, but we'll figure it out.
It's an interesting challenge, that's for sure. And so my next question I ask everybody that comes on the show, because it's my favorite question, I like to talk to everybody about failure. So what was one time that you failed and what did you learn from it?
So one recent one, actually, which is like last week, because we're all still learning and Amazon's fairly complex, is we were running a promotion, and I didn't realize the difference between a restricted and an unrestricted and a preferred promo code on Amazon. So I inadvertently made them unrestricted, meaning you could stack promo codes, which is not good. So between a 1 to 2 hour window late at night, we had a lot of people abuse the promo code. And the difference between Amazon and your own Shopify store is those items ship pretty quick. So you can't go in and just call your customer service team in the morning and be like, hey, you know, I made a boo-boo and didn't do this on the promo codes. Don't ship these. We'll call the customers. It'll be fine. So we ended up giving away a lot of free product over the course of a couple hours. So very good learning experience, and actually taught us a lot, especially very early, which is good, is that, you know, we had a lot of blind spots. So from a tech and alert system, we need to know whenever something that has a zero margin is given away on Amazon. So sometimes we might do it on purpose, but if we're not, we should at least have something in place that's surfacing this pretty quickly, because we would have caught it much faster or a couple of days before when it was a slow trickle instead of a big rush. So, you know, it taught us to make sure we have those reports in place. It taught us to how to communicate with Amazon pretty efficiently. So, you know, who to go through, what channels to work through, how to disable stuff quickly, how to ask for refunds, how to download the reports, and like all this stuff that we just never learned or even thought of before. So with every failure is a huge learning opportunity. And now we know that we're going to be much better situated for the future. And it's all these little things that happen. You know, you're moving a million miles a minute. That's when things happen. And you're a growing company, and things just happen. So no matter what you're doing, whether it was at, you know, Blubpop or the toy companies or different Facebook accounts we're managing, there's just always little things that you learn and little stuff that happens. But as long as you step back, take responsibility for it, figure out the tools and systems that need to be in place to catch it, it's a good thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so you have been in marketing through some interesting time periods of change, I would say. So as a marketer, how do you feel like your role has changed the most? Like, what do you think has impacted you the most? And how do you see things continuing to change into the future?
So I think as a marketer, things have got harder and easier all at the same time. So there's never been so many tools and things to try new stuff and fix things. But at the same time, the competition just is huge everywhere. So whether it's, you know, on Facebook or just building a Shopify store, or making your product stand out, it's really tough. Whereas 5 years ago, you could spin up pretty much anything anywhere, and as long as you had a little bit of marketing knowledge and a little bit of money, you could do fairly well. One of the biggest challenges now is probably like the data privacy, and people are becoming very concerned with what they're doing online and realizing how much data is out there on you specifically. So, you know, before we could spam people and make tons of money, you could do all kinds of crazy Facebook targeting, and it works. But, you know, just the recent Facebook change, we lost pretty much all ability to do income targeting. That's gone. There's all these different hookups with like Datalogix and Epsilon and all these huge data warehouses where it was storing your credit card information and purchase behavior. And that's all gone now from Facebook. You can't target that anymore. So that's making it more challenging. The same thing on Google. There was targeting that you used to be able to do that you can't now. And even if you look at, you know, Congress, and they're interviewing Zuckerberg and they're interviewing Google, and they're trying to, like, it's become a thing now, and especially with like the election and influencing votes and fake news, and like you can really influence people. It's becoming used for different reasons now, I think. Whereas it was traditional marketing and products, now it's actually a tool used to influence people, which is, you would influence people to buy things, which is fine. You know, it's marketing, and your people want it or they don't want it. You're being clever and creative, but there's like this undertone now that is a bit more interesting. So I think that's changed a ton. That was never there 8 years ago when I started. It was just, you know, here are these marketing tools, and you make cool creative and cool video, and it's, you know, you can do branding and get people to buy things, but that's definitely harder now. It's just to get at that data and the privacy. So you should be super careful. There's, you know, like the UK and all different, the email compliances that you have to be careful with. So there's, I think you need to be a lot more careful nowadays than you used to be doing any different type of marketing. If one thing gets out, it can spread very quickly. So I think being careful when it comes to that is probably one of the biggest things that's changed. And then I think you need to just You need to constantly be learning when it comes to marketing now. You can't just say, oh, I'm a Facebook marketer and that's all I do, because it's Facebook changes so quickly and all the platforms change so quickly, which is one reason why I'm excited to learn more about Amazon. I think eventually they might be the next Facebook when it comes to advertising. They're definitely doing more stuff when it comes to off Amazon advertising. So sending traffic away to different sites. They're trying to get into video, they're getting into branding stuff. So they know they have all these eyeballs. So now I think they're starting to figure out how do we monetize it. So whenever you're in marketing, it's kind of thinking, what is the next thing? And making sure you're learning about it as before that becomes the next thing. So you can pivot whenever you can.
To learn more about thras.io, simply visit www.thras.io. Thanks for listening, everyone. Hopefully you've been inspired to check out the Amazon space yourself, but with some healthy caution. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on your podcasting platform of choice. Just drop us a quick 5-star review and it'll be a huge help. Thanks again, and I'll see you lovely humans again in 2 weeks.